the fury's breathing down your neck. Team my team reporters battle Trump, Jenna Croft, look at that low plane. Fine, then, uh-oh, overflow, population comment. Do you know what song that is? It's the end of the world as we know it. I think I should always have music to walk into. Get the fog machine going, that would be fun. Oh, and Billy will have the confetti, of course. So, yes, this was my birthday last week, as you know, and it was also the 2-year anniversary of me being at the church. And somehow, confetti got all over my office. So, thank you, Billy, for confettiing my office for my birthday. And thank you, Marcy, for having to clean it up later this week. I cleaned up most of it, but there's a lot of speculation about the end of the world as we know it. The end of the world is coming. There's been predictions as long as there's been time about the end of the world. Do you all have a scripture sheet with you? If you don't have a scripture sheet, raise your hand and Gary's going to bring you one because we're going to go through that today. A couple over here, Gary. Lots of people get... Oh, are we out? Oh, well, never mind. Sorry. If you can look on somebody. I thought we had some extras. Lots of speculation about the end of the world, and even the Peanuts cartoon strip got in on the fray there. Lucy says, I can't sleep for worrying about what that speaker said. Marcy, I'm scared. What if the world comes to an end tonight, Marcy? I promise there'll be a tomorrow, sir. In fact, it's already tomorrow in Australia. He said, we're in the last days, Marcy. Go to sleep, sir. The sun is shining in Australia. There's been a lot of predictions. And when I was a kid, the big book at the time was 88 Reasons the World's Going to End in 1988, or Jesus is going to Return in 1988. I thought that I should write the book, Zero Reasons Why Jesus is Coming Back in 2000. To get the zeros, that would have been a lot easier. The quote that I want to read from you is from, I want you to listen to this. It says, the earth is degenerating today. Bribery and corruption abound. Children no longer obey their parents. Every man wants to write a book, and it is evident that the end of the world is fast approaching. Do you know when that was written? Any guesses? 1800? It was actually 2800 BC that was written. On an Assyrian tablet. There is a ton of dates that have come, and some of these are just so funny that I thought I'd share with you. The big one right now, the best one right now is December 22nd, 2012. That's the big one. There was even a movie done on it. And this is based on the birth of Venus in 3114 BC. And it should be on December 22nd. So mark your calendars on that one. You don't want to miss that. Some of the other ones, this one is so mathematically complicated that I couldn't even begin to understand how they got all these numbers. This is a brief illustration of it. The 1335 days of Daniel 7 started the countdown to the second coming. The sealing of the 144,000 started on February 2nd, and Satan's grip on the scattered brethren began to loosen. And then the 1260th day is April 17th, and so the blowing of the first trumpet will be at 7. So we even get a time on that one, which is helpful for planning. Again, some of these the dates have already passed. 2001, Charles Spiegel, a retired psychology professor, he preached from a small town near San Diego that the ancient land of Atlantis will emerge from the Caribbean Sea in 2001, and shortly thereafter, 1,000 extraterrestrials from Miton in 33 spaceships will land and bring new knowledge to humanity. That one wasn't quite as popular. Then another group found Noah's Ark, and based on the scrolls in Noah's Ark, Doomsday was set for January 31st, 2001. January 11th, 2000, that was another date that they thought it was going to be all over. Because on November 18th, 1997, do you guys remember where you were in 1997? Okay, hopefully. The CIA actually is involved in this when they caught a space alien that had crashed on June 20th in New Mexico. And he's from a species that is considerably more developed, both mentally and spiritually. He's the only survivor of the destruction of his world, a planet that's 200 light years away from Earth. And he reports, and apparently he speaks English, that God is furious with his creations everywhere. And so none of the species that God created turned out so well. So God is systematically working his way across the galaxy, setting fires to the planets and exploding them one by one. There's just a couple more that were just bizarre enough. I wanted to go back and see some of these that maybe when you were younger. I already did that with 1997 for me. In 1991, a local group in Australia predicted that Jesus would return through the Sydney Harbour at 9 a.m. on March 31st, 1991. So that's helpful to know about where it's going to be so you don't miss the boat on that one. And then, let's see, 1984, Jehovah's Witnesses, they're the group that makes the most claims about when Jesus is going to return. They have claimed it to be returning in 1874, 1878, 1881, 1910, 1914, 1918, 1925, 1975, and 1984. And after the 1984 one, they said they would probably stop making predictions. But we'll see if that one holds true. Now, the 1970s, now we're getting closer to some of your ages, right? You were kids in 1970, right? You're born in 70? Okay, well, some people. This guy, Moses David, who had changed his name to Moses, he was the founder of a Christian religious group called the Children of God, and he predicted that a comet would hit the Earth in the mid-1970s and destroy all life in the United States. So it was a very directed comet, only going to affect the United States, so Canada and Mexico, you're okay. Then in 1977, remember the killer bees? One prophecy guy linked the bees to Revelation 9 and said that that was the end of the world because bees were coming. And as we know, the bees are basically still just in Texas, I think. Haven't really made a way up. 1957. Anybody born in 1957? A pastor from California said that, quote, sometime between April 16th and 23rd, 1957, Armageddon will sweep the world. Millions of persons will perish in the flames and the land will be scorched. Then this is probably my favorite, and I'll end with this one. In 1809, Mary Bateman, who specialized in fortune telling, had a magic chicken that laid eggs. This is way before KFC, too. And this chicken laid eggs with end times messages on them, telling when Jesus was going to come back. But then the uproar ended when an unannounced visitor came in and saw her forcing an egg into the hen. That didn't work out so well for either of them. So yeah, this website that I found has 200 and some prophecies about the future that have obviously not come to pass. And like I said, get your ticket for the December 12th, 2012, and see how that goes. So the question is, why do we make all these predictions? Why is it a big deal? And we're going to answer that question for you here. In the Bible, Jesus himself gives us some signs to look for. Signaling the end of the world. And that's what we're going to read in Matthew 24 and Luke 21 on your outline. And as we go through here, I want you to just underline, and there should be pens in your chair there, underline some of these things that we read through that are signs of the coming end of the age. So beginning in verse 3, what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars, so underline wars, and rumors of wars, you can underline that one. So, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, underline that one. Kingdom against kingdom, underline that. There will be famines and earthquakes, underline both of those. All of these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted, so persecution, underline, and put to death, underline that. And you will be hated, okay, got that one, by all nations because of me, being Jesus. At that time, many will turn away from the faith, so that's another one, and will betray, and they'll hate each other. And then the next one is false prophets. Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. But the increase of wickedness, there's another one. The love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world. You can underline that whole phrase. As a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. At that time, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it, for false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles. You can underline that. False Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. See, I have told you ahead of time. So if anyone tells you, there he is out in the desert, do not go out. Or here he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever there is a carcass, there the vultures will gather. Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened. Underline that. And the moon will not give its light. Another one. And the stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and the nations of earth will mourn. There's another one. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory, and he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will, underline, gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Continuing on in Luke, there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, underline, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will, underline, faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world. For the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. Look back and see all of those things that you've underlined. Jesus has given us all of these things to look for. And the people that, you know, have made up these claims, these 220 different claims, have all looked at these signs and said, based on these and based on other biblical prophecy numbers, this is when the end is going to be. What I want us to look at, though, is that if we look at these things, wars and rumors of wars, persecution, famine, earthquakes, false Christs, false prophets, these things were already happening when these words were written. All of these things were taking place when in Jesus' time. All of these things are taking place in our time. Right? I mean, do we see these things happening? These things are not things that will happen in the future. They are things that are happening now. And the reason that we are given these things is because God wants us to look around and see Jesus could come back at any time. And are you ready? Are you ready? Let's continue in 2 Peter. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. And this he's talking to people because they're saying, "Hey, this stuff is happening now, and Jesus said he was coming soon. Why isn't he here yet?" And this is Peter's response. "With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." And in James he says, "Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm. The Lord's coming is near." The Lord's coming is near. Does that mean that it's going to happen tomorrow or next week or in 2012 at 7:32 p.m.? We don't know. And we should take comfort in the fact that we don't know and be comforted by that fact, because we read in Matthew and Mark here that no one knows about the day or hour, not even who? The angels in heaven, nor, but only the Father. "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man." Again, in Mark 13, "No one knows about the day or hour, not even the angels in heaven." Just put a box around that. Angels in heaven, nor the Son. Put a box around that, nor the Son. But only the Father. So what does that mean to us? Mark continues, "Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come." Are we ready for the Lord to come back now? Are we living our lives in a way that is bringing honor and glory to God? Our vision this year, strengthening our church family so we can help strengthen yours. Are we living that out? If we are really living that and really focusing on other people and focusing on the Hayes community, is that what God wants us to be focused on? Absolutely. Jesus wants us to focus on other people. We are to love who first? God. And what's the second commandment? Love your neighbor as yourself. Are we doing that? Are we ready to give an account for our lives if Jesus came back as soon as I finished my cookie? Gotta have my cookie. If Jesus comes back, are we ready to give an account? Are we able to say, "Yes, I have redeemed the time for the Lord. Yes, I am ready for Jesus to return." We want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But we have to be thinking about that now, because Jesus has not guaranteed any of us a breath of life. We look at those prayer requests and the people that have passed away suddenly. We don't know when our time is up, and we don't know when Jesus is coming again. Are you ready for that day? I want to show you just a quick video. It's just a music video. It's a song by Chris Allen. He won American Idol and one season, I don't remember when, but this song is called "Live Like We're Dying" by Chris Allen. I want to just listen to that. Are we living in a way that we're ready for Jesus to return? Are we living in a way that we are ready to be called to our Maker?